Welcome to the Illuminated Word Podcast. Each day we'll look at a text from the weekly readings from the Westgate Church Bulletin. We will look at background material and also application of the text. So once again, welcome to the Illuminated Word Podcast. Our reading today, Exodus chapter 14. A lot has happened to get to this point in the biblical narrative. In Exodus chapter 12, we have the Passover feast, the first Passover. If you remember, the destroyer angel comes into the land of Egypt. And this 10th plague was different because it would impact both Israel and Egypt. And if you did not have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, the death angel would visit your home, and there would be the death of the firstborn of both men and livestock. Because of this great blow to Egypt, Pharaoh relents. He allows the Israelites to leave. The Israelites leave hastily. They get prepared for battle. They collect the bones of Joseph to take with them out of the land of Egypt. And they start their wilderness track. They are going now toward the Red Sea. So in our reading today, we come to the Red Sea crossing. Now, I'm going to take you back to verse 21 and 22 before we get to chapter 14. This is chapter 13, 21 and 22 that kind of sets the tone for what's coming. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and led them along the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they may travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart before the people. So now they're going to be guided by this pillar of cloud and fire, which is God's presence. Some would say God's Shekinah glory, the presence of the Holy Spirit even. Some people call this indoxation, this type of incarnation of the Holy Spirit. What's really cool is you're going to notice a water crossing, the Red Sea crossing, and also the combination of the Holy Spirit, which go through the Bible sometime and look at that combo of water and spirit, and it'll blow you away, but you get it right here too. So let's read through all of chapter 14. We have a lengthy reading, so let's read through this together. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pi-Hahirothoth, between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal-Zephon. You shall encamp facing it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the people of Israel, they are wandering in the land, the wilderness has shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, and I will get the glory over Pharaoh and all his host, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, and they did so. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people, and they said, what is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his army with him, and took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers all over them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them and camped at the sea at Pi-Hahirothoth in front of Baal-Zephon. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you will only to be silent. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry land. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them. And I will get the glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. And the angel of the Lord, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud in the darkness, and it lit up the night, without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on the left.
The Egyptians pursued them and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and of cloud looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all the hosts of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the hope of Israel walked, but the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on the left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. Now what's interesting is the mindset of the people when they come out of Egypt. They see the Egyptians are pursuing them, and they automatically start grumbling and complaining to Moses. You're going to see that God has an easy time getting Israel out of Egypt. He's going to have a very hard time getting Egypt out of Israel. What I mean by that is their hearts are so changed and so darkened. Years and years of slavery and servitude and paganism has changed them. So it's going to take this wilderness wandering and this strife and struggle to transform them. That's what God does. He uses wilderness and those experiences to change all of us. That's what he does. It's how he operates. But this is all done by God. This is a miracle through and through. God is the one that brings the great wind. God is the one that causes the dry land for them to cross. I mean, this has echoes to the creation account. It's God who brings dry land from the waters. He does it again here at the Red Sea. This kind of new creation event. God is creating, in some ways, this nation. They've always been a nation, but there's something different now with God and Israel. Their relationship is changing. Something new is occurring. And so that's probably symbolic of what's going on here. God completely and utterly destroys the enemies of his people. Isaiah talks about this very thing. He says in Isaiah 51:10, "Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made a road in the depths of the sea so that the redeemed might cross over?" This event would shape Israel forever. God rescued his people with an outstretched arm. It would redefine who they are. But over and over again, we're going to see God's people grumble. Now, there's some cool things about this story. For example, the pillar of cloud and fire passes to the back of Israel and protects them. I can just imagine what that had to look like. That had to be an awesome sight. God protects them from the Egyptians, and then God throws the Egyptians into this chaos as they enter behind the Israelites. And what is also interesting is the Egyptians do realize it's God fighting against them. At some point, it dawns on them that it was God, the God of Israel, the one true God. So this is about God going to war with the pagan gods of Egypt, Pharaoh being one representative of those gods, being a living God, the son of Amun-Ra, the son of Osiris. Pharaoh himself, God goes to war with him and shows he is greater, he is mighty, he will overcome. And so much can be learned from this story for us, how God battles for his people. And this is to God's glory. This is a miracle. This is not some naturalistic explanation. A lot of people have tried to explain this miracle using natural phenomenon. It's pretty clear this is a miracle. And the reason we know that is this is not some type of tidal shift, because the Israelites go across on dry land. Now, think of the narrative story here, what we've learned. Israel leaves slavery. Now, what I'm about to share with you is how the rabbis saw baptism, how they saw proselyte baptism. And then Paul uses this in 1 Corinthians 10. So let's say you're a Jew, or you want to become a Jew and you're a Gentile. Of course, you'd have to undergo circumcision, but they also had you go through water immersion. And the reason was, you were not there in the loins of Israel when they crossed the Red Sea. So in some symbolic way, all Israelites to come after the people that went with Moses into the Promised Land, they were in the loins of the Israelites that crossed the Red Sea. So if you're going to be converted to Judaism, you had to be water, you had to have the water event of full body immersion. And the symbolism, according to the Jews, was just as Israel went into the water of the Red Sea, you're going into the waters of baptism and you're being brought into this new existence. Well, you see, this is transfigured with Christian baptism. We go into the waters of baptism, slaves to sin, and we come up released from the slavery and bondage of sin. That is the image. And we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Think about what Israel does. Israel comes to the water of the Red Sea, and now they're led by the Holy Spirit in the pillar of cloud, just like we, once we become Christians, are led by the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot of symbolism here that connects to our experience as Christians. But the big takeaway today is this: God will rescue his people. God is powerful. God will win the battle against evil. He does every time. And it will be on his timing when he is ready. So let us remember that and take comfort in that. I hope you have a great day. And I hope you continue to join us in these podcasts as we go through this Exodus story, which is so riveting and so powerful. God bless.